Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 16, beginning in the second verse. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "What that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk with my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all, "As much as they gathered daily." So Moses and Aaron said to the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumbled against us, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "So to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard your grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am Lord your God." In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Psalm 105, beginning at the 37th verse. "Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through like the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing, and he gave them the lands of the nations. And they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they may keep his statutes and observe his laws." Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went, going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand there idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "The last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last workers as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Just want to take a moment to pray for Reggie. So Lord, we ask that your word would go forth, that we would hear your word and it would do its work in our lives, and we ask that you would bless our brother Reggie as he preaches. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And please be seated. I want to thank you, Michael, and appreciate very much you asking me to do this morning, and I want to thank all of you for coming here this morning. Are you all blessed? Has the Lord been good to you? He has. He never fails to be good to us. What a beautiful God we have. Maybe I wanted to start out with something to put a smile on your face, and this is about an elderly couple who were killed in an accident, and they found themselves being given a tour of heaven by who? St. Peter, right? He's the one. Does that. And then Peter said to them, "Here is your oceanside condo. There is your tennis court, your swimming pool, and you got beautiful golf courses all over." Sounds like Myrtle Beach. "There's a place for refreshments and dinner. And there are so many bars located around this premises, and it's all free." The old man looks at his wife and he says, "Heck, glory. As he said, we could have been here 10 years ago if you'd never insisted on us exercising 3 times a week, eating that stupid oat bran, wheat germ, and that low-fat food." Isn't that so true? So many of us are so much in love with this world, we want to stay here forever. But the truth is, it's better the other side. Oh, some people are never going to make it. You heard about the story about the Israelites this morning. Chosen people of God, but they never made it to the promised land. And maybe there are some here who may never make it. So we're going to see why. And in preparation, let us just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Blessed Lord, we thank you so much. So much for your presence, so much for your love. Thank you for keeping us in the palm of your hands, Lord, and We pray for blessings over this moment, blessings upon your word. Add to it your flesh and blood, that it might reach the hearts and minds of your people as words of comfort and healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I get into the message, I wanted to tell you all this, you know, and every when they pick a verse or a passage from the Bible, then they start working on that. They jot down some notes and some points, but they also pray to the Lord and ask, what is it, Lord, do you want me to say to your people? And that's what I did. A couple of days ago, I was sitting and I'm saying to myself, I was making several points. Then I said, what am I doing? So I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, what is it you want me to tell you? And then he said, tell. That's all great. I said, I'm working with this passage from Exodus. What is it from here that you want me to tell your people? Few minutes of silence, and the Lord said again, tell them that I love them. So I want you to know that the Lord loves you, my friends. He loves you dearly, more than himself. One of the most fascinating stories in the Bible is the Exodus. I don't know if you all know that more than 2 million people came out from the Exodus. And even thousands of years passed by, but the Jewish people still remember the Exodus in their daily prayers. Why? Because they are giving thanks to the Lord for his grace and mercy, for delivering them out of the hands of Pharaoh and taking them to the promised land. What about the people who actually came out? You saw that. They looked like they were a people who were ungrateful. Less than 6 weeks into they began to grumble. And I'm reading from verse 2. It says, then the whole congregation, that means none was left, the whole congregation of the children murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, had we died in Egypt when we sat by pots of meat and when we ate bread. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill us and this whole assembly with hunger. And then later on in verse 8 to the bottom of that reading, Moses added, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. What happened? All those miracles of the seas, what happened? It's not like the people gave up everything that when they came out of Egypt, not really so. In fact, they walked away with plenty. And if you listen to the reading from the psalm this morning, you would have noticed, and this is what it says. He said he brought them out with silver and gold. There was none feeble among them. Everybody was strong and healthy. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. And then the Lord spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give them light by the night. I wish we saw those wonders of the Lord. Then the people asked, and he brought them quail, and he satisfied them with bread from heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It ran in dry places. The truth is, they had it all. They had it all, and yet they grumbled, but God was very patient. And I say this very lovingly, God is patient with you and me as well. He gave them 40 years in the wilderness. They gave him 40 years. Right. Some of us have lived longer than that. Some of us have been members of a church for longer than that. We still haven't gotten it right. And during the time of this Exodus, we are told that their clothes never got old. We like to go and buy a new set every now and then, but look at them. The clothes never got old, and the shoes, the Sandals they wore never wore out. But when rebelling against God becomes a lifestyle, then there are consequences. That entire generation died in the wilderness. Do you all know that? It's only their descendants that actually crossed over into the promised land. And why? Maybe you're asking why? Because Satan was successful in getting them to sin and depart from God. You find yourself so busy with the world that you do not have time to pray. You do not have time to be in the presence of God. Satan might have gotten you as well. Anyone, no one is exempt. People hunger for what they don't have. But how many of us thank the Lord for what we have? Morning and open the refrigerator to make yourself a cup of coffee. How many of us have thanked the Lord that you have food to eat? Your faith will grow when you begin to thank God for little things in life. God wants us to be a grateful people, a thankful people. The Israelites were good people, but they made poor choices. God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh and put them to the promised land. All they had to do is to look at that pillar of fire and that cloud by day, and they would have gotten to the promised land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey. But the devil had a plan too. And because we have free will. The people put the desires of the flesh above honoring God. Ask yourselves, my friends, are you honoring God every day with the way you live? Are you so consumed with the world that you have little or no time for the Lord? Friends, you may not see this, but in the spirit world, there's a raging battle. A mighty battle, and it began in the Garden of Eden, where Satan is fighting for your soul. Scripture says he's not sitting and, you know, playing marbles with somebody. The scripture says Satan is like a roaring lion, walking back and forth, seeing whom he devours. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let me tell you this. When the Lord starts blessing you, he will come for you. As long as you are with the world, he's not going to bother you. And if you're not bothered, let me not say anymore. But if you are being bothered by the devil, that's a good sign. You need to thank the Lord. As slaves in Egypt, the Israelites were doing just fine. But the tables began to turn, and I'll tell you, and I want you to listen to this carefully. Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, "The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, 'Let my people go that they may worship me.'" You know, the devil does not and anybody worshiping the Lord. You may not know, but Satan, whose name was Lucifer, he was one of those archangels, and he was in charge of worship. He was the worship leader in heaven. And you can read that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. But he ran into trouble when every time worship went on, he was some of the worship. And then he said, "Raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will make myself like the Most High." Lucifer's life goal is to get everyone to worship him instead of God. And when you worship the things of the world, or when you are attached so much to the things of the world, in a certain sense, you are worshiping him. even though God was with the Israelites with the cloud in the day and the fire at night, Satan was able to persuade the children of Israel to worship a golden calf. You might remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, what is Jesus pointing to all the kingdoms of the world? He said, all of these things I will give to you, as if it belonged to him in the first place. That liar. All of these things I will give to you if you will just fall down and worship me. And Jesus didn't fall for that, but countless number of good men and women have traded their souls for the pleasures of this world. Maybe that this morning, who are going through the motions of religion, wear a cross on their neck, car, stand when the gospel is read, sit at other times. And believe me, I'm not talking down to everybody, including myself. We do a lot of these things about religion, but we have no relationship with the living Christ. People read about God. They heard about God. How many of them have actually asked the Lord to come into their heart as their Savior? What about you, my friends? Is church and your faith reserved only for a Sunday morning? Do you come here because it's the right thing to do? Or do you broken and contrite heart, worship Lord, not with your lips, and give him thanks for redeeming you. And this story is very important. Every Bible is for our teaching and for our learning. This is not just a story of the Israelites. It's not a historical story. There's a lesson in this. Story. We may be moving in the circles of God, like the Israelites, but that doesn't guarantee anything. You may proudly say, hey, I am a good member in the church, long-standing member. I am there first on Sunday morning. But let me say this, and I say this lovingly. You know who is the first person who walks through those doors? Satan. He gets here before you. He gets here on Sunday morning before you walk through those doors. He knows where to meet everyone. He knows how to get different groups going. Little disagreement on this, little disagreement on that. He knows how to divide. While others are lifting up hands and praising the Lord, he will slowly nudge your shoulder and say, hey, did you notice that was a little off key? Telling you, when the preacher is up here preaching, he will get you to fiddle with something, a hymn book or a few papers or pulling your pants or dusting your clothes, so you hear nothing. And then when you go back home, maybe this is a good time that I can pray or read the Bible, then you say, hey, check your phone. Go on Facebook. Wash the car. So many things to get done. Who's going to do that? And the day goes by and nothing is done. You've never had time to. And when we too will die in the wilderness. For the children of Israel, the destination became unimportant. Notice. They were redeemed to go to the promised land, but that was important. What was the heart of meat? You and me, our parts of meat is our careers, our wealth, our homes, prosperity, and all the cool things that you do. And sinning is cool, by the way. Getting drunk, great, you're high. Our generation is not focused on the destination. It's all about the here and now. And in the process, again, we have little relationship with the Lord. What a tragedy for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, die for us so that we might live forever, and then we just throw it. Friends, I want you to see it like a time here on earth is like a walk in the wilderness. Along the journey, out of trials, you might face sickness, financial trouble, broken relationships, so many more. Like the Israelites, we can blame the Lord for everything. Don't thank Him. Don't thank Him for all you get, like they did. Just blame Him for everything. We've been there, right? When something goes wrong, oh, the Lord doesn't care for me. Maybe He doesn't exist, doesn't listen to me. Sometimes we want the Lord to listen to us, you know? Instead of that, we can rise up like Job, rise from our ashes and say, and everything you say, by the way, and if the devil knows too, you can rise from your ashes and say, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Even his wife said, curse God and die. Great advice. His friends were trying to say that to him as well. But he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I wonder if you and I can say that. I know people go through a lot of hard stuff. Believe me, it's hell or something like that. It is very painful. But what you have to know that this life is not all. I've done funeral. Every time you do a funeral, visibly upset, understandable. But if you look the other side of this world, the angels are clapping and saying, here comes the daughter. There is a world greater than this one. There is a life that is everlasting. This one is fading away. Let me say this, my friends. No matter how saved you are, there is some wilderness time waiting for everyone. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm lucky, I'm fine, I'm doing great. Some wilderness time is waiting for you. It's a time when the devil will come to tempt you, and your decisions is going to determine whether you're going to die in the wilderness or whether you're going to make it to the promised land. And maybe some of you are asking, well, what do I need to do to get to the promised land? First and foremost, never wander away from the Lord. The Lord never left the Israelites, they left Him. Then put on the whole armor of God, and you'll read that in last chapter of Ephesians. Cover yourself with His blood every day. Ask for the precious blood of the Lord to cover you and protect you. And instead of being conformed to the world, live with an eternal perspective. What is it going to profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? You remember that, right? Remember, Christ died for you so that you can live forever. And when you put God first, God will put you first. Start the day with Him in prayer. Give Him the best part of your day. Read the living word. It will be like a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. When you leave your home each day and you navigate the wilderness of this life, He's never away. If you seek Him with all of your heart, Scripture says you will find Him. Don't say you have not found Him. You will find Him if you seek Him with all of your heart. When you draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to you. And sometimes it might seem that you're losing the battle, Maybe God is really not caring about you, but I want you to remember this, my friends. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He has promised to be with you. And He knows how to part the seas, and not a hair of your head will fall to the ground without His knowledge. Fear nothing, in all things we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are His children. You are heirs of the eternal kingdom. What are you fearing about? When facing difficulties, don't try to figure it out yourself. Some of us are great in that, strategizing, you know. How will I tackle that problem, this problem? Take it all to the Lord. Always place your hands in His. He alone knows where the grass is green and where the waters are still. And here's another thing. We are in a much, much more better position today. Yes, they were able to see the Lord from afar. But today, the Lord lives in us and with us through His Holy Spirit. Talk to Him every day. Practice the presence of the Lord in your life. Think of Him as often as you can and give Him praise and adoration. Tell Him that you love Him. When is the last time you have told the Savior that you love Him? He wants us to be a thankful people. He wants us to thank Him.